Let's take up 1139 first, if you're okay. We have discussed that at some length.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Diana Miller, registered lobbyist for Johnson Controls, and we were waiting for Senator Sutton. He happens to be tied up in Senate Commerce on somewhat of a delicate bill or controversial bill, but I think he's coming over here shortly, so I won't try to steal any of his thunder, and I appreciate you taking the time. I just want to reiterate that there were some good questions on House Bill 1139 the other day. I thought questions that needed to be asked, and I wanted to try to bring some new information to the body as far as what House Bill 1139 does. Basically, 1139 deals with a financing option for the public sector entities like local school districts, cities, and counties, so that they can put in projects that not only could serve energy, but that they can use the savings they incur from putting that in, the revenues, excuse me, that they incur and pay back the project over a 15-year payback. The 15-year payback period, there was a question someone asked me also, came about a year or two ago when we extended the payment plan under this energy efficiency statute from 10 to 15, so that's just a cleanup. Two things that need to be brought to mind. This is a public entity, so the project would still have to be bid, just like any other public project, so that is one safeguard that's built in. The second safeguard that's built in is we have the state engineer under this particular 133B2 reviews the project and approves the project for whatever local entity is proposing that particular project. And we have worked with the Bureau of Administration on drafting the language, and I know it was suggested maybe there was a better place to put the language. We looked and there wasn't a better section because we still want it to be in a section and the requirement be that you conserve energy. And I would remind or just refresh the committee's memory when we're dealing with improved metering technology, that basically applies to a new water system in a small community. And you conserve energy by, if you put in a new water system and replace the old, you're able to better detect leaks throughout the system and you save water that way. Plus, you're able to record through the metering system a better usage of your gallons so that you don't use that usage. Over the years, a water system will decrease in its ability to measure the gallons just because of aging out. And so consequently, this will improve that. When you put it in, then you will generate the operating revenues, and you can put that back in to pay the project. The renewable energy someone asked me about, that is a potential for the future with your wind energy. Potentially and hopefully someday we'll have those projects in this state. That would be a great benefit to the state of South Dakota. But when you put a wind energy plant or wind energy facility on land, you will have increased operating revenues to pay back the project. And then increased operating revenues to the generation of energy. Say, for example, you install an auxiliary generator at a site that perhaps your electricity or utilities go down and you have an auxiliary generator whereby you can serve, you can automatically switch to that if the power of that goes out. You don't lose any time or effort along the way as far as recording how much energy or how much electricity may be used, plus you don't have the shutdown of the plant. There's no hidden agenda with this particular bill. It is simply straight up forward and trying to give the public entities of cities, schools, and counties. And we worked with the cities, we worked with the rural electrics, we worked with the electric utility people, and that's why the amendment was put on the bill, because they drafted the amendment to protect them, that we were not entering anything into any domain whereby the PUC regulates their metering system. So I would ask that you adopt the amended version of House Bill 1139, Mr. Chairman. And I know probably Senator Sutton has a couple things he'd like to say, and Yvonne Taylor from the Municipal League is also here to indicate, and I think Bob Miller also. Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'd stand by for any questions.
We'll hold questions until the rest of the proponents have testified, and we'll have at it.
Thank you, sir.
Other proponents, like Senator Sutton, maybe.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members.
Good morning.
I want to thank you for allowing us and moving this up so that I can get back to work on a little bit more of a controversial bill in commerce. So,
Senator, if you would identify yourself.
Identify myself. Yes, Dan Sutton, State Senator, District 8, Flanders, South Dakota. I apologize. I might have inadvertently confused some of you last week when I went through this. This is this is definitely just another tool in the toolbox for these public entities to take advantage of. And, you know, if I can try to narrow it to that scope, and I have tried to work and look and see if there's other parts of law that this could fit into. And I truly believe that this is the best place for it. But I will stand corrected if any member that is smarter than I am has a better place that they think that this should be placed. But, you know, House Bill 1139 simply provides an option of financing energy efficiency projects in the public sector. And I would just hope that this committee would see favorable to offer that opportunity to those public entities that are looking for ways to have that efficiency available to them. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I will also stand by for questions, but I just would ask the committee for their favorable consideration of House Bill 1139.
Thank you, Senator. Do you have to leave right now?
Not right now. I'll stay for a little bit.
Okay. If not, otherwise, we would open it to questions to you right now, but if you're going to be here for a minute.
I'll stay for a little bit. Okay. Yep. Thank you.
Other proponents? Right.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. We too are in support of this bill. One thing that I can think of that you may see as being useful to this is our smaller towns are hooking up to the rural water systems, and that water comes into town. Sometimes they find out they've got a staggering amount of line loss. As that water that's expensive starts to go through, they start to realize maybe how that is. And so the enhanced metering would certainly be one of the provisions I think that those, especially the smaller towns, could use. So we would urge your support of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Any further proponents?
Mr. Chairman, Bob Miller, the South Dakota Electric Utilities. I want to assure the committee once again that the bill as amended does not interfere with the relationship between any utility and its customers, or the relationship between the utility and the Public Utilities Commission, or the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission's rules. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponents? Any other proponents? If not, are there any questions for the proponents from the committee? Any questions? Senator Coskin.
Bob, I might ask you a question. I was going to ask Diana, but I think you probably answered too. The utilities can't, or the municipalities can't resell electricity. When you start getting into wind generation, they can't resell and compete with private utilities, can they?
Municipalities? I think I'm the wrong guy to ask on that one. I do not know.
Anybody else care to answer the question?
You mean
if you get into making it pay under this provision for, because you're talking about turbines, a new energy production, would they be able to resell? Is there a prohibition against
Mr. Chairman, municipality? I think a municipality would be treated, if they were served by an investor-owned utility, would be treated like any other customer.
If I may continue. But when we're talking about revenues coming from new energy sources, the question I have, could they resell to their own customers? I understand if you have municipal mm-hmm. power, but could they sell outside their municipality to other municipalities or other rural electrics? Or I don't want to get into competition.
I think the municipals were limited to a certain number of miles from the municipality. I'm not real sure of that, Mr. Chairman.
I think we may have some answer here. Maybe not. Maybe.
Mr. Chairman, Yvonne Taylor with the Municipal League, maybe half an answer. And honestly, I don't know the specific answer to that question, but I think what you'd find out is the cost of installing any kind of generation is so cost prohibitive that you wouldn't be able to make your money, especially if you're looking at something like wind energy. You just wouldn't be able to recoup the cost of putting it back in, and so there would be no incentive to try and sell. Generation's just not a cheap thing to get into. So I guess
question.
I don't know if that's the answer to the question, but.
Senator Kreischer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will attempt to answer that as a former city official, as Senator Coskins. I believe they're correct. There's somewhat vague in their answer on that, but because of you do have some. I would have to say some control outside your city limits here. that a good case in point would be like water. Those that are in cell water, oftentimes you go outside your boundaries there for several miles, and you can charge them 1.5 times the rate that you would the people from within the city limits. They do that for sewer and a number of other things. I would assume this would expand to that as well.
Any other good questions? Senator Dempster.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not so certain that I can come up to those standards. A question for Diana Miller. So the bill says either you can identify that stream of income that either increases revenue or reduces expenses, and you can use that stream to finance projects. Why do we need a bill?
Sir? Mr. Chairman? Senator Dempster, because to operate under this section of the law, energy efficiency, we want, the energy portion of it. 133B deals with the public entities and projects, and you have the safeguards of having the state engineer review it and all that. Plus, we need it. This is the statute that many years ago, and I don't mean to date Bob Miller, but he was involved in the formation of this particular statute for the state. And it best fits underneath here, but we do need a bill because public entities do not have the authority to do that. For when you have increased revenues from a project.
Was there a follow-up? That was a good question. It's right up there. Any other questions from the committee for the proponents? Hearing none, are there any opponents to 1139? Any opponents? If not, we're going to close to the committee discussion, questions, or action. Senator Dempster.
Move, do pass, I think.
That's good. That's bigger. Senator McNenny, I think you probably second. Any discussion on those motions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was a skeptic of this bill the first time around. I checked with my city officials, and since that time, I've become a proponent for it, so I will support it.
Any other discussion, Senator?
Want to tell Senator Koister I would never, ever, ever lead you astray.
Any other discussion?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll support the bill, but I would ask that probably Bob or somebody check into that question and find out there needs to be something addressed to make sure that we don't start conflicting and competing against private. That is a legitimate concern, but we have to get it out, and I support the bill, but just maybe make an amendment on the floor if we needed. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Hearing no other further discussion, the motion is due pass. Secretary, call roll and answer appropriately as your name is called.
Dempster. Hansen.
Aye.
Klochek.
Aye.
Koskin, Lentz, McNenny,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Koistra,
aye.
Denwald.
Aye. Goes out. Who passed? Unanimous. Any other motions? No. We'll need to discuss this, maybe.